We're continuing in the Shir on Likutei Moran. The last Shir that we had, we learned Torah Pei Zayin in Likutei Moran Tanina. Torah Pei Zayin, chapter 87, in the second half of Likutei Moran. This Torah was based on the Kavonos of Elul, which is a certain secret that the Arizal reveals in his writings regarding the subject of the month of Elul. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this knowledge, learning about this item, helps a person tremendously in Tikkun HaBris, number one. Plus, Rabbeinu Zal said, it could also help a person who's looking to find their mate to be able to help speed up the process of a person finding their right zivug. That's number two. Plus, number three, whether a person is in the process of looking to find their zivug, or even if a person is married, in either case, there could be situations where a person's zivug, a person's mate, is opposed to them, doesn't listen to them, doesn't comply to them, and actually opposes them, either Baruchnius, Begashmius, in both ways and always. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the knowledge of this Soid Kavonas Elul, of this secret regarding the month of Elul, helps a person tremendously in all of these areas. And Rabbeinu Zal gave a proof to this from the story of Eliezer, the servant of Avram Avinu, who was sent out on a mission to go seek a mate for Yitzchok Avinu, the son of Avram Avinu, the one from whom Yaakov Avinu would come from, who would be the origin of the whole Klal Yisrael. We are called Bnei Yisrael, which means the sons of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the child of Yitzchok Avinu. And Rabbeinu Zal shows how, when Eliezer said to Avram Avinu, what do I do if I find the woman whom I believe to be the mate of Rivka, of Yitzchak Avinu, and she's not willing to come with me? She's not willing to go along with being Yitzchak Avinu's wife. What do I do then? And Avram Avinu's response was, if the woman will not want, then you'll be free of the commitment you've just made to do everything in your power to find his correct zivug. Rabbeinu Zal reveals how in Avraham Avinu's words, when Avraham Avinu said, if the woman will not want, within those words was hidden the secret that the key to getting the woman to want is this Soid Kavonas Elul. That if you'll have this knowledge and if you'll implement this item, you'll be able to guarantee that Soiveh Ho'isha, the woman will want. Because the words surrounding, the words soive ho'isha, which means the woman will want, the surrounding words ve'im loy loleches achrecha, the first letters of those four words make up the word elul, hinting to this secret that the Arizal writes about the month of elul, that secret information could be very useful in helping a person regarding all of these items, tikkun HaBris, and having one's zivug come towards them. And even if a person is already married, having the proper relationship, having the proper respect from one's wife, respect and submission in a positive way only, naturally. And Rabbeinu Zal finishes off this chapter, Rabbi Moshe Zal finishes off by saying that a person should also take a look in the sixth chapter in Likutei Moran, Kishom Medaber Mekavonas Elul. Over there, Rabbeinu Zal discusses this secret that's discussed in the writings of the Arizal about the month of Elul, and it is a tikkun for Pegam HaBris, meaning to hainu la'ayin bo'isei hamaymar, to check into that chapter on Likutei Moran, velizkois lahovin boy, and to be zeichet to understand that chapter, and to be zeche, to do something based on what you're going to learn in that chapter, al yideze yisakein pegam HaBris. These things can help a person to correct pegam HaBris, any sins that a person has committed related to the covenant between men and women, that whole topic, and to get to everything we discussed within this chapter. So this is where we got up to last week. We learned this whole chapter, and we said that this, in the following shir, we're going to take up this Soid Kavonas Elul based on the sixth chapter in Likutei Moran in Chelek Aleph. If we could all turn to that, that's way towards the beginning of the Sefer. In our Likutei Morans, it's on page 13. And what we're going to do is we're going to skip around. We're going to quote, we're going to take some excerpts from that chapter, just what we need to give us as good an understanding as we're going to get from tonight regarding this Soid Kavona Selu. So if you pay attention, just listen. By the time we get finished, hopefully, with covering everything we want to cover tonight, we'll have covered the secret as it's presented in the writings of the Arizal, plus some surrounding information that Rabbeinu Zal puts on it, through which we can have an application to this. Because this item, as it's presented in the writings of the Arizal, has very little practical purpose as far as we're concerned. It's different combinations of Hashem's name with different vowels under them, and what does that have to do with us? How do we apply that? What can we do as a result of knowing that? And Rabbeinu Zal, in this chapter on Likutei Moran, takes that secret that's presented in the writings of the Arizal and shows us, puts some additional meaning to it, showing us a practical application of it. Rabbeinu Zal begins this chapter by saying, he's basing it on a pasuk, the pasuk where Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu right before his passing to give over the reins of authority, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, into the hands of Yehoshua. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kro es Yehoshua, I want you to summon Yehoshua, your prize student, v'hisyatzvu b'soicho oihel, and you and he should gather together within a tent, and in this tent you're going to give over to him the leadership, the authority of Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal begins by saying, Ki tzorich kolodom lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy, ulaharbois b'chvoid hamokoyim. Each and every single Jew has to see to it to decrease his own honor, his or her own honor, and to increase Hashem's honor. This opening sentence alone is extremely dramatic, because the Meforshim on the Likutei Moran zero in on this and say, note how these two items are presented side by side. Lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy, ulaharbois b'chvoid hamokoyim. Decrease your kavoid, increase Hashem's kavoid. That these two items are to be pictured on two ends of a seesaw, generally. A person who is looking to increase their own personal kavod in any way, through money, through power, through wisdom, in any way, they're looking for any personal honor, that person should know that automatically anything that gets added to them is going to be subtracting from Hashem. Because Hashem is king of the world. And kingdom is synonymous with honor, with kavod. We say, Baruch Shem, kavod malchusa elyolam voed. There are many, many psukim throughout the whole Torah showing how these two words are inseparable, kavod and malchus. Hashem being the king, all kavod is shayach only to Hashem. Is all kavod belongs only to Hashem. Therefore, any person who seeks to take any kavod for themselves as an entity separated from Hashem, distinct from Hashem, you're automatically taking away from Hashem. Which means, Rachmona Litzlan, you're in a lot of trouble. Rabbeinu Zal says, a person has to see to it, lemayit b'chvoid atzmoy, to look to minimize their own personal kavod, and to increase the kavod of Hashem. And then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to explain that you should know that when it comes to kavod, there are two types of kavod. There's a person who has a certain degree of authority or respect, but it's a kind of respect where people are always questioning it and challenging it. Sometimes they'll do it in front of his face, like, who do you think you are? Who made you for a boss? You have this in a company, you have this in a shul, you have it in many different places, where you have a person who's a leader, who's in a position of authority, and at some point in time, or many points in time, you'll have people that'll challenge that authority. Who made you for a boss? Who made him for a boss? All of that kind of discussion and attitude. Rabbi Nizal says, generally, that type of kavod is called kavod malachim, the honor of kings, of regular kings, where there's a pasuk that's written about this kavod malachim chakor dovor, that about the honor of kings, it's something that is subject to question. Rabbi Nizal says there's another type of kavod, a much higher degree of kavod, called kavod elikim, the kavod of Hashem, who is called the King of Kings, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, and that kavod is something which is hidden. People know that that's something you can't question. It's something we know nothing about, or we know very little about, and therefore it would be considered ridiculous, or silly, or childish, or improper, or wrong for us to question it in any way. The pasuk says, "Kivoyd Elokim Haster Dovor," that the honor of Hashem is something which is hidden. People know that it's a closed topic. It's not something we can really hope to understand completely how this comes about, all the hows and whys, everything there is to know about Hashem. But we do know that Hashem is to be very, very respected, more respected than anything else conceivable. And Rabbi Nizal stresses here that a person who looks to minimize their own kavod, the Gemara says, kol ha-boireach min ha-kavod, that a person who runs away from honor, from respect, the honor chases after them. Meaning, that person is zeichet to honor. What type of honor? This kavod elikim haster dover. This true kavod, which is something that's considered so high that he's beyond reproach. People can't question him. Whereas, a person who seeks kavod, a person who doesn't run away from kavod, any kavod that person does get will only be within this lower category called kavod malachim chakor dover, where people are always questioning it. People will never feel 100% comfortable with his authority, because the type of kavod that he's been zeichet to is a kavod that's lacking. It's not the kavod of Hashem. This person isn't sharing in the kavod of Hashem. He has something that's separate from Hashem. And once it's a type of kavod that's separate from Hashem, it is certainly subject to question. Then Rabbi Nizal goes on to show that it's impossible to get to this type of kavod without tshuva. And he gives a major explanation regarding that, which we're not going to go into in full detail right now. That the key to getting to this type of kavod is through tshuva. And Rabbi Nizal says that true tshuva on the highest level is when a person is willing to undergo embarrassment. When a person really, really feels ashamed of the things that they did that they should feel ashamed of, that's the highest form of tshuva, that shame and embarrassment. We know the Gemara says, "Kol hoivra avera umizbayish bo," that a Jew who commits a sin and feels embarrassed about it, moichlin loy al kol avinoisov, Hashem forgives that person for all of their sins. This is an unbelievable piece of advice that the Torah gives. A Jew commits a sin and feels honestly embarrassed about it and ashamed of the fact that I actually went against Hashem. Hashem who sees everything and knows everything, and Hashem who is in such a position. If I didn't do this sin, who knows what kind of reward Hashem would have given me for passing this test. And for having done this sin, who knows what kind of an unbelievable punishment is waiting for me. And how embarrassed I have to be that Hashem saw what I did and imagine how foolish I look standing in front of Hashem, going against Hashem. If a person really, really feels embarrassed about that, the Gemara says, Moichlen loy al kol avonosav, they forgive him for all of his sins. So this is literally one of the highest forms of tshuva that there is. And Rabbi Nizal says, through this tshuva, a person is zeichet to kavoy, to the true kavoy. Now, let's skip to the next page, page 14, in our Likutei Morans. In the other Likutei Morans, the Israeli editions, it's possibly different. We're going to paragraph Dalid in Torah Vov. Rabbi Nizal says, U'kisheroitze odom leilech bedarkei tshuva. And when a person wants to travel the paths of tshuva, darkei, not derech tshuva, darkei, plural, the paths of tshuva, and Rabbi Nizal had quoted earlier different psukim that show that there are drochim of tshuva. He's going to show it in this paragraph. We're going to come to it in this paragraph. Rabbi Nizal says, "U'kisheroitz adam leilech bedarkei tshuva." When a person wants to walk the paths of tshuva, tzorech lihiyos boki b'halocha. The person has to be very knowledgeable in walking, meaning in going. V'tzorech lihiyos loy shnei bekius. The person has to have two types of broad knowledge. Hainu. Boki berotzoi, boki b'shoiv. The person has to have knowledge in the area of going up, climbing, and in the area of coming down, returning from an ascent. K'may shekosu, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, zako manda'ayil v'nofik. Fortunate is that person who, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to religion, this person knows how to be ayil, how to go up, v'nofik, and how to come down. V'zeh b'chinas, Rabbi Nizal says, this is what's hinted to in two sentences in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, im esak shomayim shom ato, if I rise up to heaven, if I climb up all the way to the heavens, shom ato, b'chinas ayil, this is referring to a person going up. And even though he's climbing up, he still realizes that as high as he goes, there's still higher than him. There's still something above him. What is it? Hashem himself. Even if I find myself in Shomayim, I realize that Shom Ato, you Hashem are up there, so that I haven't gotten up to you yet. There's still higher to go. Bechinas Boki Barotzui. This is a concept of being knowledgeable in how to rise up. Va'atzia Sho'oil Hineko. And David HaMelech says in the rest of this sentence in Tehillim is, and even when I find myself down in the Sheol, which is the lowest of the seven Gehenims that the Gemara discusses, Hineko, you Hashem are right there with me. Bechinas v'nofik, this refers to going down, way down. Bechinas boki b'shoiv, the concept of being knowledgeable regarding going down, falling, or coming down within religion. V'zeh, Rabbi Nizal says, this is what's meant by the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani ledoidi, v'doidi li. I yearn to my beloved, and my beloved yearns to me. A feeling upwards and downwards. Rabbi Nizal says, Ani ledoidi zebechinas ayil. That's a concept of going up. A Jew reaching up to Hashem. My feelings for Hashem. My feeling of wanting to reach up, kaviochel, and touch Hashem. My feeling longing for Hashem. Vedoidi li zebechinas venothik. The concept of the return. The return could only be if I'm distant from Hashem. Kaviochel, if I picture Hashem as being way up there, then when does Hashem have a feeling of yearning towards me? When I'm way down, and Hashem has a feeling of reaching down to me. V'zeh ikar kivoidoi. Rabbi Nizal says, this is the main kavod of Hashem. The main honor. You want to know when a person really has respect for Hashem? When they can serve Hashem in both ways, when they're climbing up or when they're falling down. V'zeh v'chibadetoi me'asois derochecho. There's a pasuk that says, v'chibadetoi, you will give kavod to Hashem, me'asois derochecho, by doing by making your paths. Rabbi Nazal says, Derechecho Loshen Rabim. Note, it refers to the word Derechecho, which means your paths, plural. Hainu Ayil Venofik, referring to going up and coming down. And when a person has these two types of broad knowledge, he knows everything there is to know about how to deal with all the aliyas in coming close to Hashem, and how to deal with all the yiridos in falling away from Hashem during that period. When a person is down or falling down, Azai hu hoylech bedarkei hatshuva. Then the person knows that they are going in the paths of tshuva. V'zeicha l'kovoid Hashem. And that person is zeicha to the type of respect that Hashem is zeicha to. K'moy shekosuv, v'chibadetoy me'asoyis terachecho. V'chibadetoy means you will give him honor, and it also implies, Rabbi Nazar says, you will receive his type of honor. You will have kavyochel Hashem's type of honor. Hainu shezeicha lekeser. This means that the person is zeicha to the crown itself. Ki leis kovoid beloy chof. Because the word kovoid begins with the letter chof. And we know that the chof refers to the crown of Hashem. There are three proofs to this that we'll mention. Number one, the crown of Hashem, keser, begins with chof also. So we see that chof, the letter chof, is an inyan of keser. Number two, the fact that chof is 20. The Hebrew letter chof has a numerical value of 20. And 20 is the number that's associated with the crown of Hashem. Because the light of the crown of Hashem, the crown of Hashem is the 10th sphira going up, the 10th midah of Hashem. Its light, as described in the Zohar HaKadosh, reaches down, all 10 levels down, and returns back up to its point of origin. So that the light of Keser is something that automatically is associated with 20 levels. It travels 20 steps, 10 steps down, 10 steps up. That's the brightness and purity of the light of Keser, that it's able to reach all the way down to way, way down on bottom, and return, draw the person back up. The third proof that we'll mention, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Chof in Hebrew is Esrim. Esrim is another way of saying Chof. The word Esrim, Ayin, Shin, Ayin, Sin, Resh, Yud, Mem, is Bigimatria Keser, exactly. Showing that the Chof represents Keser. And Kovoid is also Chof. Rabbi Nazar says, once you're zeicha to the true Kovoid, you're zeicha to the light of Keser. How are you zeicha to the true Kovoid? V'chibadetoy me'asoyis derochecho. From knowing these two paths, knowing the path of going up to Hashem, and knowing how to come down, how to return, or how to fall when a person has to fall. Just like Lahavdil, when a person learns the art of self-defense, person is learning how to fight, karate, all of these sports, where they're teaching you how to stand up and fight. In all of these limudim, one major section of the limud is learning how to fall. Question is, why are you teaching me how to fall? If I know this karate, supposedly I'm not going to fall. Sheker, stupidity. Anybody that thinks that never learned karate, and doesn't understand the concept of a fight. A fight implies any concept of a real fight. If you're fighting any reasonable opponent, it's understood that there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be times that you are standing up, and there are times that you're going to be down. And unless you know how to deal with both situations, you're in for a surprise, or you're in for becoming a loser. Lahavdil, religion is called a fight, milchemes hayetzer. It's wartime, it's battle. In a battle, you have to know how to move forward, and you have to know how to retreat, and when to retreat. And you have to know when you're a mode of retreat, and the two ways of fighting are different. Lahavdil, when it comes to catching fish, sometimes you want to catch a fish, part of it is how strong you can hold that fishing pole, holding that line. But part of the art of catching a fish when you're dealing with a real powerful fish is sometimes you have to let the fish think that he's winning. You have to go down, you have to make it look like you're losing. You have to fake like the fish is winning. You have to let the line out and make the fish think that he's pulling away from you. And then the fish tires himself out, running and pushing, and he gets a false security. And when he's in that false security, suddenly you grab him back in, and that's how you beat the fish. Lahavdil, so too, when it comes to this Melchemes HaYetzer, there's tremendous knowledge and wisdom involved in knowing how to deal with the Yetzer Hara, how to deal with the Satan, how to climb, how to fall, how to come down, all of these different things. This knowledge which the tzaddikim possess, and they impart us within their teachings. Next, let's skip now to page 16 in our Likutei Morans, the top of the page, which is the paragraph, it's within paragraph Zion, but it's not the beginning of Zion. It begins with the words, V'zeh soid kavon aselul. This is the secret of the special thoughts that a person is supposed to have during the month of Elul. In the writings of the Arizal, one of the places that this is referred to, one of the sections in the Kisvei Arizal is called Shar Ruach HaKodesh. And there, the Arizal revealed to his closest student, Reb Chaim Vitalzal, certain special kavonos that he was supposed to have at different times. Reb Chaim Vitalzal writes that one year, the year Tov Shin, the year Tov Lamed Aleph, which means approximately 315 years ago, about, it was around Rosh Chodesh Elul, that Reb Chaim Vitalzal said, the Arizal told me he wants me to fast for 2 days. And he gave me special kavonas, special thoughts to have in mind during this 2-day fast, 2 consecutive days. And the kavonas were based on what we're going to learn here now, discussing surrounding the month of Elul. What was the association between this and Elul? The Arizal explained how the Aleph Lamed of Elul and the Vov Lamed, the Aleph Lamed, Kel, and the Vov Lamed, the second half of Elul, refer to 2 names of Hashem. One refers to Yud-Kei Vov-Kei in a certain format here, and the Vov Lamed corresponds to Ekye, Hashem's name Ekye, which is another name of Hashem, again within a certain form, a certain part of that name, the Milui, the Yuds, the 3 Yuds, different parts of that name that are represented here. Now regarding this name Ekye, just to pause for a second, Rabbeinu Zal had also mentioned in this chapter that the name of Hashem that's most closely associated with Tshuva is Hashem's name Ekye. Ekye, which means I will be. I will be. And Rabbeinu Zal explained, because when a person is in the process of doing tshuva implies that I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Doing tshuva implies that I know that when I started off, my neshama started off as being part of the heavenly throne, part of the Kisei HaKavod, and Hashem sent me down to this world. And my mission in this world is tshuva. Tshuva means to return, to rise back up to Gan Eden, to rise back up to being nichlal within the throne of Hashem. That's one form of tshuva. The Zohar HaKadosh says that tshuva is like the zarka, one of the trup that we say in Leining. The zarka is shaped like a sideways S, where it starts off at a certain point, it dips down, then goes up above the point of origin, and then comes back down to a level that's pretty even with where it started out. Rabbeinu Zal says, so too with a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva is one who realizes that when he came into this world, when a Jew is born into this world, he comes into the world in a state of purity, completely pure. A newborn baby is totally pure. The fact that I'm doing Tshuva implies that I realize that I've done certain things that I shouldn't have done, and thereby I've lowered myself, and I've taken myself out of the level of really existing. Because when is a person considered to be alive and existing? When they're together with Hashem. The minute I start doing sins or I do the wrong thing, I took a step away from Hashem. Taking a step away from Hashem is taking a step away from life itself. Hashem Elokim Chayim, right? Va'atem advekim b'Hashem alekeichem chayim kulchem ayoyim. If you're attached to Hashem, you're alive, you're existing. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which refers to hoyve, to be in existence. If I'm separated from Hashem, it means I don't exist. I'm dead. I'm attached to the Sitra Demaisa, the side of death, the Sotan. Even if I'm physically walking around, the Gemara says, Rishoim b'chayim kruyim esim. A Rosha, while he's physically alive, is called dead. So therefore, the act, the concept of wanting to do tshuva means, I want to be. I want to exist. I realize that now in this state of sin, I don't exist. I'm not alive. And I want to come alive. I want to start existing again. That's this term, ekyeh, I will be. That's this name of Hashem that Rabbeinu Zal on this chapter explains is associated with tshuva. Now we're going to start something that's a little bit difficult, but if you pay attention, you'll definitely be able to understand it on our level, on our baby level that we're going to explain it, we should be able to understand it. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Shomati k'tzas k'tipo min hayam. I heard a little bit like a drop in the ocean from what there is to know about this item. Ayin shom b'kavon haselel, take a look over there in the writings of the Arizal, that the summary of what he wanted, what a person's supposed to be thinking of during the month of Elul, don't forget over there he was explaining to the Arizal what he was explaining to Reb Chaim Vitalzal what he should be thinking during those first 2 days, and also throughout the rest of the month of Elul. It was all based on this subject. First, he showed him how it's associated specifically with those first 2 days, specifically the 48 hours, a whole explanation there exactly regarding what this is about. But then he showed him also certain kavonas to have in mind related to this regarding the whole month of Elul. Hu hanoisein bayam derech. It's based on this pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya, where the pasuk says about Hashem that Hashem carves out a path in the ocean. Shetzrichen lahoyer bechinas derech bayam. A person has to shine the derech into the yam, into the ocean, v'chulu, etc. This is what the Arizal mentions over there. Next, v'zeh haderech, this path that we're talking about, hu bechinas beiz pa'omim Hashem Yaboik. We know that one of the names of Hashem is called the Shem Yaboik. Yud Beis Kuf. Now, it's not spelled Yud Beis Kuf. It's a name of Hashem that has a numerical value of Yud Beis Kuf. Yud Beis Kuf is 112. Yud is 10, Beis is 2, Kuf is 100. Yaboik is 112. There is a name of Hashem which is a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elikim. Elikim is Bigimatria 86. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. These two names of Hashem, when they're combined, are called Yichud, Bracha, Kedusha. They represent the combination of Bracha and Kedusha. Bracha is an inyan of chesed, kindness. Kedusha is an inyan of din, harshness. Bracha is an inyan of kohen. Kedusha is an inyan of Levi. By the kohanim, it says, Koy sevorachu es bnei Yisrael omar lehem. The Koyanim were the ones who gave the bracha to bnei Yisrael. The Koyanim represent midas hachesed, kindness. Levi, on the other hand, Levi represents din, harshness, judgment. The pasuk says v'kidashto es halavim. V'kidashto es halavim. Kodesh refers to Levi. The Shem Yaboik, Yud Beis Kuf, the Zohar Kodesh says, represents Yichud Brocho Kedusha. Yichud Brocho Kedusha. It's combining kindness and harshness. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents kindness, chesed. Elikim represents din, judgment, harshness. A judge in Hebrew, in the Torah, is called Elikim. Parshas Mishpotim. Ad Elikim Yovei Dvar Shnehem. So now the Arizal says that a person has to create a derech. Derech, Dalet Reish Chof, is Bigimatria 224, and this Derech is made up of twice Yaboik. Yaboik, Yud Beis Kuf, is 112. Two times 112 is 224. V'zeh Nimshach Mibichinas Beis Shemois, Shehem Keseh and Sog. And this Derech is created through two names of Hashem. One name has a numerical value of 161, Kuf Samach Aleph. The other name of Hashem has a numerical value of 63. What names of Hashem are these? We'll see in a minute. Ki Elu HaBeis Shemois, because these two names of Hashem, Kuf Samach Aleph and Samach Gimel, Heim Oilim Begimatria Beis Pomim Yaboik, 161 and 63 are the same gematria as 2 times 112, Shehu Begimatria Derech Kanal, which is Begimatria Derech. Now this Kuf Samach Aleph and this Samach Gimel, what does that refer to? We know that the Hashem's most basic name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. This Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's written in the Sifrei Kabbalah, can be spelled different ways. There are some times that it's written Poshut, just like that, Yud, Hey, then Vav and Hey, which has a numerical value of 26. There are times where we write this name of Hashem filled out, where we write the letters as we pronounce them, so that when we say the letter Yud, we pronounce it as if it were a whole word, as if there were a word written, Yud, Vav, Dalet. And that word, Yud, Vav, Dalet, is pronounced Yud. One of the forms, one of the ways that Hashem's name Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei can be spelled out is where it's written, Yud, the Yud is spelled Yud, Vav, Dalet. The Hey, is spelled Hey, Yud. Note the way we pronounce that letter, hey. Hey, it's as if there's a yud at the end. The vav is spelled vav, aleph, vav. And the hey, again, is spelled hey, yud. In this instance, the numerical value of yud, vav, dalet, hey, yud, vav, aleph, vav, hey, yud, is Begimatria 63. This is called the Shem Sog, one of Hashem's names. The Arizal says that this is associated with the Aleph Lamed of Elul, because Lamed is 30. The Lamed refers to the 3 Yuds here. The He Yud, the 3 Yuds that are found within this name Sog, the 2 Yuds in the Heys, He Yud and He Yud, the 2 Heys, and the Yud of Yud Vav Dalet, you have 3 Yuds within this name, and you have an Aleph. The 3 Yuds are Begimatria Lamed, and the Aleph of Vav, Aleph, Vav, that's the Aleph Lamed of Elul. The Arizal shows how the Vav Lamed comes from the next name that we're talking about, which is Ekya, this name Kuf Samach Aleph. How do we get to the Kuf Samach Aleph? When we take Hashem's name Ekya, Aleph, Hey, then Yud, Hey, and we spell that out in its full form, the Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei. The Hey is spelled again Hey Yud. The Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet. And the Hey again is spelled Hey Yud. The Gematria of that whole item is 161. These are 2 forms of these 2 names of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei in the form of Sog, and Ekye in the form of Kuf Samach Aleph. Rabbi Nizal says that these 2 together have a numerical value of 224, which is Derech. 224, which is twice Yaboik. This is still the Arizal explaining. Next, the Arizal goes on to say, the Shem Sog Bechirik, he told Reb Chaim Vitalzal that when you're being Mechavein, these names, when you're picturing these names in your mind, you should picture the Shem Sog. This Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. Picture the letters with chiriks under them. The Segoil, the Keser, I'm sorry, we skipped. V'tzorech Lechavein, Shem Keser, the Segoil. When you're picturing the Shem Kuf Samach Aleph, which is the Ekya, Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, picture each one of those 10 letters with a segol under them. A segol is the 3 dots. The Shem Sog, the Chirik. And when you're picturing the Shem Sog, picture it with a Chirik under each one of the 10 letters. The Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. Picture them with Chiriks under them. The segoil, the keser, the chirik, the sog, heim oilem tof. The segoils, these 10 seguels that are under the 10 letters of Ekya, as we spelled it out, and the 10 chiriks that are under the 10 letters of Yudke Vovke and the Shem Sog, as we spelled it out, give us a total value of 400. Why? Because in the Tikkuni Zohar it explains that even the vowels in the Hebrew language have a numerical value in learning out certain things. There are certain things to be learned out even from the vowels alone. The vowels in the Hebrew language come in two forms, dots and dashes. That's all the nekudas that we have in Hebrew are dots and dashes. You have, for example, a pasach, which is a dash. You have a chirik, which is a dot. You have a tsere, which is two dots. A segol is three dots. You have a cholam, which is a vav, which is like a dash, and a dot above it. You have a komatz, which is a dash, and a dot below it, connected to it. But basically, the vowels in Hebrew are dots and dashes. A dot corresponds to a yud, because a yud is like a dot. A dash corresponds to a vav. A vav in the Hebrew language is like a dash. So a dot has a numerical value of 10, like a yud. A dash, a line, has a numerical value of 6, like a vav. If we're talking about 10 seguels, a seguel is 3 dots, each dot has a value of 10, 10 seguels is 300. If we're talking about 10 chiriks, a chirik is one dot. If each dot has a value of 10, 10 dots, 10 chiriks is 100. So the Arizal says that the 10 seguels under the Shem Ekya and the 10 chiriks under the Shem Yudke Vovke have a total value of 400. Kishem, now he explains, Kishem Kese Hu Ekya Bimiluay Kozeh. Because this name of Hashem, Kuf Samach Aleph, is the name Ekya when it's spelled out as he shows you here. Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Yud, Yud Vov Dalet, Hey Yud. It's written as a Kuf there just because we don't want to write Hashem's name out. Shehem Yud Oisiyos, it's 10 letters. V'chol Achas Nekuda B'Segoil. Each one of these 10 letters, the Arizal said, he should picture with a Segoil under it. V'Segoil Hu Gimel Nekudois. A Segoil is 3 dots. The Alkein Hu Oile Shloshim. Therefore, a Segoil has a value of 30, 3 dots. The Alkein Yud Pomim Segoil, 10 Segoils, Oile Shin is 300. That's the Ekya, that's the Segoils. The Sog and Hashem's name Samach Gimel, Heim Yud Oisiyos Shel Milui Havaya, corresponds to the 10 letters of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei when it's filled out. When it's written as it's shown here, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Alev Vav, Hey Yud, V'chol Achas Nekuda Bechirik, and each one of them is supposed to be pictured, the Arizal said, with a chirik under it. Oile Kuf, it has a numerical value of 100. 10 chiriks, 10 dots, is 100. Ushnehem chirik de sog, v'segoil de kese, oilem yachad tof. The 10 segoils and 10 chiriks are begimatria 400, which is begimatria pshuto, the Hebrew word pshuto, which means outstretched. V'oz al yedei kol b'chinois hanal, and the Arizal says, through having in mind these different things, Hayamin Pshuto Lekabel Tshuvosoi, Kaviochel, Hashem's right hand will be extended to accept that Yid's Tshuva. Pshuto means to be extended. Hashem's right hand will be extended to accept that person's Tshuva. Why the right hand? Ki Yamin Bimeluoi Oile derech im hagimel oisiyos shehu beis pamim yaboik ayin shum, because the Hebrew word yamin, which means the right hand, that word when it's written bemilui yud yud vav dalid mem 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 yud yud vav dalid nun nun vav nun, that word is bigimatria the word derech with the three letters. The word yamin yud vav dalid is 20. Mem Mem is 80, gives us 100. Yud Vav Dalet again is 20, gives us 120. Nun Vav Nun is 106. 120 and 106 is 226. With the Kolel, combining all of this, it's 227. The word derech is 224. It has three letters, 224, and the three letters is 227 also. So we ayin shom kolze mevor mitoich kavonas el. All of this is explained over there in the Kisvei Arizal regarding the kavonas for the month of El. Now the question is, once I learn this, what do I do with this? This is interesting. It has to do with names of Hashem, and we see that different names of Hashem with different vowels form a numerical value of different words, and the Arizal tells us that this is related to tshuva, and this is related to a path, two kinds of yaboik, all of these things. Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us now how this discussion about different names of Hashem and things which don't seem to have any lemaisa application for us, how do we apply this to serving Hashem? Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us now what is this referring to. Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'ato boi ure'ei v'havein, now come and see and understand, listen, Eich kol ha'kavonoi sanal merumozim v'ne'elomim b'derech nifla v'noira ma'oid b'toich ha'toir anal. Come and see how these secret kavonas are all hidden in the discussion that Rabbeinu Zal had earlier about the topic of tshuva, about ups and downs, and about kavod, and about all these different things. Kimavur Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal had explained earlier, Shami sheroitze lasis tshuva, that a person who wants to do tshuva, tzorech shiyeh lo shnei bekiyas, has to have two types of broad knowledge. Hainu boki barotzi, boki b'shoiv, shei bechinas ayil v'nofik, bechinas im esak shemayim shamato, shehu bechinas boki barotzi, v'ashiyah shol hineko, shehu bechinas boki b'shoiv. As we explained earlier, you have to have these two types of knowledge, Rotsui Voshoiv, Ayil Venofik, Esak Shamayim Shamato Vatsia Shel Hineko. We explained how that refers to the ups and downs. Vahapirush Haposhotu, understanding this very simple, means Shemi Sheroitzalelech Bedarke HaTshuva, that a person who wants to go on the path of Tshuva, Tzorech Lachgoyer Mosnov, he has to really strengthen himself, sheyischazik atzmoi bedarki Hashem tomid, bein baliya, bein biyarida. He has to strengthen himself, fortify himself in serving Hashem, whether he's going through an up or a down. Sheheim bechinas emesak shomayim shomato, atziya shel hineko, which are described in these words in Tehillim, where David HaMelech talks about his ups and downs. Hainu, Bein sheyizkeh le'eza aliyah, le'eza madrega gedoyla, whether a person is zeichet to feel himself rising and coming close to Hashem, and he feels himself going up high. Who's the highest Jew? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went up as high as he could possibly go. Im esak shamayim shom'ato. If I rise up to heaven, the words shom'ato make up the letters S Moshe, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was zeichet to climb as high as he could possibly go. Afal pikein al yamoid sham. No matter how high a person feels himself climbing, don't settle. Don't stop. Don't get comfortable with where you're at. Don't feel satisfied. I'm doing great. I feel very happy about myself to the extent that I'm going to take it easy. I want to cool my heels. I want to relax here. I want to take a vacation. A Jew should never be satisfied with where he's at, that I've had enough. I've climbed enough. I've learned enough. I've done enough tzedakah. I've done enough mitzvahs. Rak tzorech sheyeh boki boze ma'oid. Person has to be very, very knowledgeable in this. Leida to know, ulahamin, and to believe. Shehu tzorech leleches yoyser v'yoyser. That he has to go further and further. A yid never stops growing. Every day is supposed to learn more and increase more and get higher and higher and closer to Hashem. Shezeo b'chinas boki barotzi. This is the concept of climbing, knowing how to go up, and never stopping to go up. The main thing you have to know in knowing how to go up is that it's a non-stop procedure. It's infinite. Hashem is infinite, and therefore the rise towards Hashem is infinite. There's no such thing as stopping at any point. Bebechinas ayil, shebechinas emesak shemaim shamata. Vechein lehepech, and so too the opposite is also true. Shafilu im yipoil chas v'shalom lamokim sheyipoil. Not even if a person falls, no matter how low they fall, afilu b'sheoil tachtis. If a person falls, they do so many bad things, so many terrible things, that the person feels like he's literally in Gehenna. He's as tomei as he could possibly have made himself. He's as bad as he could possibly be. Gam kein al yisya'ish atzmai li'olam. A Jew is never permitted to give up. V'tomid yichapes v'yavakesh es Hashem yisborach. He has to always seek out Hashem. V'yichazek atzmai b'chol mokim shehu b'chol ma shiuchal. And he should strengthen himself no matter how low he is in any way he possibly can. Ki gam b'shol tachtis nimtza Hashem yisborach. Because Hashem is even to be found in the she'ol tachtis. Hashem is everywhere. If Hashem is everywhere, it means I can't go low enough to get away from Hashem. There's no such possibility of getting away from Hashem if Hashem is everywhere. And even there on the lowest place, in the lowest level, I can still attach myself to Hashem and pull myself up out of this yerida that I'm in, out of this nefila. Rabbein Zal says now, ki e efsher leilech bedarki hatshuva ki im kisheboki shnei abekiyos elu. It's impossible for a Jew to really do tshuva without knowing these two things very, very well. Because the path of tshuva involves ups and downs. There's no such thing as a person doing tshuva and not having any aliyas, not having any ups. Any times when he feels very enthusiastic about religion, about mitzvahs, about learning, it's delicious, I'm enjoying it, I'm having a good time, I feel that the knowledge is going into me. All of these things that are all within the bechina of aliyah. And it's impossible for a person to do tshuva without going through yeridos. Yeridos means where I'm doing averus chas v'shalom, or I'm not getting any pleasure out of doing any mitzvah, or I don't have a cheshik, I don't feel a desire for doing a mitzvah, I feel far from it. Even when I'm doing it, I don't feel like it's a part of me, I feel like it's over there and I'm over here. All of these things that are within the category of yerida, v'nufik. And Rabbein Zal says it's impossible. Impossible, 100% impossible for a Jew to do tshuva without experiencing both of these. Ups and downs, many of them. Sometimes the ups and downs are over a period of years, a year up and a year down. Sometimes it's 7 years, seven good years, seven bad years, Paro's dream. And sometimes it could be within one day, ups and downs. Sometimes it could be within 1 hour or 1 minute. A person's feeling good 1 second, and the next second they're feeling bad and down. People know this. People experience this. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'dikdek Rabbein Zal. Note, Rabbein Zal was specific, was particular, V'koro inyan ze b'loshin boki. And he referred to the fact that a person has to become a boki at this. Boki means a person has to have broad knowledge. Because this thing comes in millions of different forms. The soton is going to come to you with so many different variations of this, and you have to be very, very broad-minded to be able to look at all the whole variety, the whole spectrum of what he's going to put in front of you, the whole assortment of aliyas and yeridas, to figure out that this is all a test. The yeridas are a test, and the aliyas are a test. During the yeridas, you're being tested to see, are you going to fall out completely? Are you going to walk away? Are you going to give up? During the aliyas, you're being tested to see, are you going to become a big shot? Are you going to feel, I made it, I'm comfortable, I've succeeded, and stop chasing after Hashem. Stop running to go to higher and higher levels. Kihi bikiyas godoil ma'oid ma'oid. Rav Nosson Zal writes, this is a very, very, very great knowledge, sheyizke leida liageya atzmoi, that a person should be zecher to get to know, to tire himself out, to work very, very hard, v'letroyach b'avoydas Hashem tomid, to struggle in serving Hashem, velitzbois bechol eis lahagia lemadrega gavoya yoiser, and to be constantly yearning and wanting to go to a higher level than the level I'm at now. I'm not happy enough with where I'm at now. Not that I'm depressed or I'm sad or I'm angry. I'm not happy enough. I believe that there's more for me. I believe that I could be doing better. I could be doing more. That's one attitude that a yid is supposed to have. And still, with all of this running and wanting to go higher and higher and come close to Hashem, v'afal pikein al yipoil mishum dovor. And I'm also not going to let myself fall. If I think that I'm on level minus 1 billion, I'm not going to let myself go a drop lower. I realize that however low I am, there's still lower to go. And unless I grab hold of myself and ask, what am I doing here? I better start climbing up. If I don't, there's a possibility of me falling a level lower even. Therefore, v'aval pikein al yipoel mishum dovor. I'm not going to let myself fall from anything. V'afilu im yi'ech she'yi'ech chas v'sholom. No matter how bad things are going to get, no matter how bad I'm going to be, no matter what I did wrong, no matter how bad things are looking for me, afal pikein al yipoel bedaitoi klal. Still, I'm not going to let myself fall in my own mind. V'yikayim v'atzi yeshoel hineko. And I'm going to be mekayim this pasuk that even if I find myself in she'ol, in the lowest level, hineko, Hashem is there, and I can turn to Hashem, and I can serve Hashem even from here, and I can find my way back to Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now. Rav Nosson Zal so far has given us the two separate pieces. He gave us the piece from the writings of the Arizal, and he gave us a summary of what Rabbeinu Zal said. The next paragraph, he's going to weave them together. He's going to show that both of them are saying the exact same thing, and this is what's known as the Soid Kavonas Elul. This is the secret Kavonas of Elul, which if a person learns about this, thinks about this, this is a tremendous tikkun for Pigam HaBris, and this is something that could help a person find their right zivug, and that the zivug should be an ezer to them. The zivug should be nichna to them. Baruch Hashem.